Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In the fourth chapter, we'll be reading verses 4 through 6, which also talk about being part of the body of Christ. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, for those of you who got a little bit of a panicked feeling when you saw morning message and three names under moments of witness, don't worry. I only have a word of introduction. I'm not preaching a full sermon this morning. That's because today is Laity Sunday, and I want to make sure that we celebrate the way that God is moving and active in our congregation, because ministry isn't just up to one person. It's something that God calls all of us to. Now, the call of God is active, and it compels us to be God's representatives in the world. And I think probably the most compelling statement that is distinctly given in Scripture about what we are to do as God's people is probably the Great Commission found at the end of Matthew chapter 28, as Jesus is sending out his disciples. And I need you to help me out here. It either starts one of two ways. Does it start, therefore come, or therefore go? Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. All right, so therefore go is a lot different than you all come here, come sit in the corner, learn about Jesus for a little while, and we're done. It doesn't have any bearing on your life. Therefore, go and make disciples is how Jesus sends out his disciples in ministry. Go, tell all the world. And he sends them out two by two. And when Jesus sends his disciples out, he says, you know, don't bother taking your wallet. Don't bother taking your coat. Don't bother trying to pack a big suitcase. Put on your shoes and get out there. Take your sandals and go. 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 God calls each and every one of us. And so we're going to hear a little bit about how God has called some of you in various ways and means. So we're going to hear first from Lois, and then she will be followed by Olivia and our third witness to how God is moving and active and calling and compelling will come from Brian. So I'll ask if Lois will come and let us hear how the Lord is at work.
Hello. I was the oldest of two children with great parents who loved and doted on us. I also had asthma and tended to be a little bit clumsy. My father frequently said, "Don't let Lois near that, or she will either break it or she will hurt herself." He did not encourage me to be self-confident. When I was graduating from eighth grade, my teacher chose me to give a speech at the ceremony. My parents worried that I would get so nervous I'd leave the ceremony with an asthma attack. Before I got up to speak during the ceremony, my mom took me to the back of the auditorium and handed me a piece of paper with this Bible verse from Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And she asked me to read it to her, and then we prayed together. As I walked up to give my speech, I held on to that piece of paper and had no problem completing my task. That life lesson has encouraged me for my entire life. Like all of us, my life has had many challenges, and I would doubt my ability to go on. What a great help knowing I was never alone and always had divine help to move on. After 30 years living in Northern Virginia, raising my children there, teaching second grade, and loving my Methodist church, my husband and I moved to St. Mary's County to be near my daughter Janet and her family. This seemed overwhelming at the time, as this was a big change, leaving my life and friends and moving to a new community. We were comfortable immediately when we visited Hollywood United Methodist Church. About a month later, Louise Dean stood up and made an announcement that all women were invited to a breakfast meeting of the Hollywood United Methodist women on the following Saturday morning. I was excited to attend, and I called the church asking, "Where is Galilee Hall?" After driving down the hill, parking my car, I walked into the hall, not knowing anyone. Joyce Remmel walked over and welcomed me with a hug and talked with me a while. I had a wonderful time and enjoyed the fellowship. Over the years, I became a part of this beautiful family, loved being near my daughter and her family, and still kept in touch with my friends in Virginia. My God has always been with me. As a senior who recently celebrated another birthday, I have new challenges and often talk with God about my future. I can't do so many things that gave my life joy and purpose. Excuse me. Sometimes I get down in the dumps, but then I am shown that I have new ways to contribute. I am so grateful for the life that I have had, a beautiful and loving biological family, my church family, and always knowing that God is with me. This year, I have attempted to read the entire Bible. I must admit, I struggled with much of the Old Testament, and now am moving to the New Testament. But I did find a new verse to keep close to my heart. Psalm 71:17-18. And I'm going to close with that verse. Psalm 71:17-18. "You have taught me ever since I was young, and I still tell of your wonderful acts. Now that I am old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. I have every confidence that I am never alone, and God will never abandon me." Thank you.
Hello. My name is Olivia Hepp, and I was born with serious heart defects. Most babies that have my condition and is not discovered prior to birth go home and sadly pass away. My parents and doctors did not know about my condition before I was born. So the fact that I am talking to you right now is certainly a way that I have seen God at work in my life. In April 2015, I had my third open heart surgery, where I saw God at work. I was very nervous at first, but through the prayers of many, reading scripture verses about peace and fear, and focusing on what I could do for those that would be recovering in the hospital along with me, I became less and less afraid. I felt God's love through me, through my family, friends, and church family. I will never forget the members of our church family showing up on my doorstep the Sunday before my surgery to pray for me and offer me encouraging words and love. I truly feel that God led me to give stuff there with a note of encouragement to the other children in the hospital in order to show them comfort and love. By preparing the notes, I was able to adjust my focus off my situation to how I could help others. This made the weeks prior to surgery less fearful and made me more determined to recover so that I could pass out the bears. God used this to help me. I was supposed to be in the hospital for 7 to 10 days, but instead I was in there for 6 days and was able to continue to recover at home. I'd like to leave you the note with the verse that is on the necklace the Graces gave me a few weeks before surgery. It continues to be a reminder to me about not being afraid. Joshua 1:9b, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
I asked Katie what she was looking for in a moment of witness and got the answer, something like a God sighting, something relatively recent. That answer was a problem for me because most of the time I'm not sure if something is God interacting in my life or just the way the world works. But that does not mean that I doubt that God interacts in our lives. On the contrary, although I cannot give you scientific proof of his interactions, I can say that I absolutely know and have complete confidence that he has interacted in my life. It sort of becomes a case of having faith based on things that have happened that I neither caused nor understood. Let me give you 3 examples. The first was when I became a Christian. I don't mean just going to church or even getting involved in church activities. I had done that for years and even made sure that my children attended church. But 2 years before I came to this church, there was a major reorganization and layoff at where I worked, and my job was eliminated. I should tell you that I had always put work first. In fact, I pretty much define myself by my work. It was a major blow to be let go like that. But out of that emotional upset, I began to study my Bible more intently and came to believe that it applied directly to me. Now, I'm not saying that God caused that layoff, but I do believe that he sent the 2 people that helped me through it and find my way. And I believe he changed my values so that I put my family first ahead of my work. Second is the example of the 47 messages that I've delivered here over the years. On most of them, as I've written them, at some point after I finished writing it, I've had the thought to myself, did I really write that? I'm certain that many of the ideas that I presented did not come from me. That may not be objective scientific evidence, but that realization reassures me. It supports my faith, and I am firmly convinced that God has acted in my life. Now, of course, there might be some of those messages where God would want it perfectly clear that he had absolutely nothing to do with them, but I won't go there. And third, I firmly believe that God brought Gail and me together. We'd seen each other at church for years, but early this year we happened to be sitting next to each other waiting for a church meeting to start. That it was delayed. We got to talking and found that we'd been through many of the same problems. You see, my wife had died 2 years before, and her husband over 3 years before. Well, the meeting finally started, and then it finally ended. Afterwards, as we were walking out to the parking lot together, she asked me if I ever wanted to talk more about it over a cup of coffee, I should call her. So I gulped, and I asked her out to lunch, and the rest is history. Now, why do I think that God had a hand in what happened that day? First, I was not looking for someone, and neither was she. In fact, I had thought I would spend the rest of my life by myself. And second, because of the timing. Those of you who have lost someone that you love know the sad truth that you have to hurt before you can heal. If we'd met earlier, neither of us would have been ready for a new relationship. So those are my stories. I urge you to look back through your past to find those life-impacting events that you cannot explain, and to ask yourself if maybe God had a hand in them. Maybe he was helping you, or maybe he was using you to help someone else. In either event, we should be grateful. And even though God may not speak directly to us as he did to Moses and Paul, we should never doubt that he is with us throughout our lives. Thank you.
I hope you hear in each of these that God is active in the lives of each of us as individuals. But God is also active within our congregation. None of these stories happened in a vacuum. They were all within a church family. So as silly as it was to sing the Hokey Pokey earlier, we need each other. And sometimes it's through others that we begin to realize how God is at work within us. So keep being God's people for each other. Because God is at work. God is still calling each and every one of us. And we are the body of Christ together.